Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
Logan intercepted.
Touchdown, Zion.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live, presented by DraftKings right here on Giants.com. Joined by Jeff Fiegels, I am John Schmelk. 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants chat on Twitter. A lot to talk about today. Of course, the NFL schedule release came last night. I must admit, I did not watch any of that three-hour NFL Network extravaganza. I got the schedule, I looked at it, and that's all I really needed. We will be joined at 12:30 by another one of our go-to draft guys, John Ledyard from USA Today. Will be joining us to give us his take on some of the stuff going on with the NFL draft, what he's hearing, and the ripple effects from the trade yesterday. But, Jeff, let's take a look at the schedule first, because obviously it's new news is interesting. And to me, something that kind of has been a feature in the Giants' past few years' schedules, you kind of have what I like to call the death stretch, where you face like six awesome teams in a row, and you're like, oh, my God, how are you ever going to survive
that?
What
did you call it, a death stretch?
Death stretch.
Oh, okay.
They can be season killers.
Sounds serious.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't see that type of stretch this year. You don't have the Packers, the Steelers, the Vikings, the Cowboys, the Ravens, back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back weeks. They're kind of spread out and sprinkled throughout the schedule.
Right.
Do you agree or disagree?
I agree with you there.
Yes or no?
Well, you know what? I had to kind of get into this thing a little bit, but when I see – that's what you look at. As a player, you know what I looked at? I looked at where we were playing late in the season and where it was indoors.
Okay.
But not to take anything more from you. But you look at the schedule, and I'll agree with you there, because there are some, you know, although the first part of this schedule, as far as from the quarterback standpoint, you're getting into some really good ball throwers here at the beginning. So.
Yeah, and I think, you know, let's kind of go through a 1 through 16. By the way, if you're watching us on Twitter, we'll wrap in a few minutes, then you can go to Giants.com to continue watching the show there. The first six games, you mentioned it, and, you know, they have seven games before the bye week. They got the bye week right in the middle of the year, which coaches tend to like. First six games, though, you have Tony Romo and Drew Brees in the beginning of the year when you don't want them because, A, you know Romo's going to be healthy. Yeah. Drew Brees is going to be in MetLife Stadium, but in good conditions, which you also don't like.
Fresh arm.
Then you have two playoff teams in the Redskins, and then you have to go to Minnesota. You know, again, you like to have that indoor game in December. Of course, they sent us to Minnesota in December last year when we were playing outside. Now that you're inside, we'll send them to
we'll
you.
We'll do you a favor,
awesome.
And we'll do it in October.
October
for
3rd.
You.
Thanks a lot,
Thanks
guys.
Thanks a lot. Yeah.
Then to Green Bay to take on the Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Then Joe Flacco in MetLife Stadium against the Ravens. So you have four excellent quarterbacks in those first 6 weeks, including two playoff teams. The Vikings had that excellent defense. We saw them smack the Giants around a little bit last year. So a very tough six-game stretch to start the year.
And if you look at this Monday game against the Vikings on October 3rd.
That is Monday night.
Then you have a Sunday night game the following week in Lambeau. And we were talking about a little this before we came on the air today, but the Packers are coming off a bye week. The Giants are coming off a short week. That doesn't bode well for the Giants.
That is not a good combination.
That's not. And you know, that's going to be a tough turnaround there, because those are definitely, you know, late games getting back, and they're both on the road. And then not to mention, we'll get into the rest of it later, but, you know, these quarterbacks, especially the first two, when you said it, John, you got Tony Romo coming off his injury. He's going to be healthy. You know he's going to be roaring, ready to go.
And the Cowboys are going to be all annoyed from going 4-12 last year. And, you know, they're going to be all psyched to get back on the field. I was really hoping to avoid the Cowboys in week one this year. I don't like that matchup.
Well, I mean, you look at the Giants have two division games right off the bat out of the first 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And not to mention there's an NFC team in there also. Actually, look at this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The first five games are in the NFC.
And six out of the first seven.
So wow.
And then after you get past the Ravens in week six, this is what you call the middle part of the schedule is the home portion of the schedule is what I'll call it. Because from week six through, let's see which week it is.
Well, it was up into the Bears.
Week six through week 11. So six straight weeks, the Giants play home versus the Ravens, at the Rams, but that's a neutral field in London. Then they have the bye in week eight. Then they have three straight home games, excuse me, against the Eagles, the Bengals, and the Bears. So the Giants do not set foot in a road team's home stadium for a six-week stretch in the middle of the year since the Rams are a neutral field. To me, Jeff, if the Giants really want to make some noise this year and be a playoff team, you're going to have to do some damage during that five-game stretch.
You better, yeah. And ultimately, you know, you want to win all your games at home and split on the road. That's the easy formula, if you will. But
and,
yeah,
of course, throw in the fact that you go at to Cleveland the game after that, which should be, in theory, one of the easier games on the schedule based on Cleveland's roster composition and the type of team you think they're going to be. So that six-game stretch to me has to be one where you better go 4-2. Maybe 5-1.
Also, looking at that next six-game stretch, let's look at the first six. What comes out of that makes the next six even more important if you're on the downside of it. And, you know, this is no picnic here, the first six games of the season. You got two playoff teams in there, and one, the Ravens are getting better. You know that they're not going to be stinking every single year.
Well, they'll Flacco back, which obviously killed them last year.
Absolutely. And then you got, the Saints they're always going to give you a game, the Saints are. And Redskins. I mean, look at what they did last year, being a playoff team and winning the NFC East. So that's going to be, to me, this first six game. Then you got the six games in there that we talked about where we can, you know, you got to kind of make your hay here.
But here's the thing, though, about that period we got to make hay, Jeff. It's not like you got a bunch of easy teams. I mentioned the Browns. They obviously are going to struggle. But the Bengals were maybe the best team in the AFC until they had all those injuries at the end of last year. The Eagles are the Eagles. You know that game is going to be, you know, blood and tears and, you know, may the best team win. It's going to be close. And then the Bears are an improving team under John Fox. They weren't great last year, but I think they're going to be better. So it's not like,
But they are at home. And that's what I was saying.
That's correct.
Not so much like they're easy wins. They're at home, which gives you a little bit of a benefit, if you will. But, you know, it's the Giants somehow in some way seem to, not win all of their games at home. And to get three of them in a row, we'll see what happens there. But I think of those – let me ask you a question, John. Of those six teams in that middle of the stretch here, which team do you worry about the most in there?
Bengals.
You worry about the Bengals.
Bengals, Ravens, and Eagles.
Yeah, in that order.
I mean, I think, look, playing the Rams is never easy. They got a good defense. Who knows what their, quarterback's going to do. He'll be the first overall pick in the draft. The Eagles are the Eagles. You know they're going to be a pain in the butt.
Yeah, they're always close.
They're always a pain in the butt. The Bengals, like I mentioned, they lost a lot of guys. I know they did, but they're still a very, very good football team. And the Bears are improving, and I think the Ravens are pretty good. So, I mean, you have some opportunities to win some games there, but you also have some tough contests in that stretch as well. And then to close out the season, Jeff, it doesn't get any easier.
No.
You get four out of your final six on the road. Now, Cleveland's in that mix. I'll kind of push them aside for a second. So you got 3 out of 5 on the road at Pittsburgh, which, along with Green Bay, might be, and at Minnesota, I'll throw that in the mix too, two of the three toughest games on the schedule, taking the division games out of the mix. To Pittsburgh, Ben Roethlisberger, December 4th, it could be a little chilly. The weather might not be great at that point. You got to host the Cowboys, host the Lions. I know the Lions had a down year last year, but they still have Matthew Stafford. They lost Calvin Johnson. They still have Eric Ebron, Golden Tate. I don't know how good they're going to be this year. I think they, probably will be an under 500 team, but I don't think they're going to be a 4-win team either. You know what I mean? I think they'll be around, 6 to 8 wins, so that's not going to be an easy game. And then you finish your season with two straight road games at Philly and at Washington. And
in the division.
Those are going to be games that are going to decide the division.
Yeah, and they usually do. That's why the league likes to put those games at the end of the schedule, and we've seen in the years past. And it does. It comes down to that. And, you're looking at the Redskins team and what they lost and what they've gained. I mean, they're going to have a pretty good team coming back this year.
Oh, yeah. Wonder if Kirk Cousins gets a little better. For the Vikings, does Teddy Bridgewater get a little better? And again, second year under John Fox. The Lions are continuing their program. They switch general manager. So these teams are trying to build. Let's see how good they are this year. And I think that gets back to a stat that people have thrown out there, Jeff. Oh, the Giants' strength of schedule is the second easiest schedule in the league. Oh, they have no excuses this year. Do you know why their strength of schedule is the second easiest schedule in the league? They have three games against the Ravens and Cowboys, who both went 4-12 last year.
Okay.
So that's 12-36, which comprises just about 20% of their schedule. Do you think those two teams, with Romo and Flacco healthy?
I was just going to say they lost both their quarterbacks.
You might swap those numbers. Yeah,
exactly.
You might go from 12-36 to 36-12 or 32-14.
And then what is this go to? It goes to what the team was against last year. Their schedule last year was brutal.
It probably goes to a top 10 strength of schedule. Yeah. And everything changes year to year, Jeff. It's hard to judge how hard a schedule is based on how a team
did last
year.
It's just something to talk about.
Right, exactly.
Right? I mean, and as you know, the NFL puts out those stats every week as the schedules, as they go through the season. You know, the upcoming, this is now the Giants become the toughest of the upcoming games because, yeah, it's a crapshoot, you know, but you lose yeah. Tony Romo and Flacco. Those guys are on your, come on, seriously.
All right, everybody on Twitter, thank you for joining us. Go to Giants.com to listen to the rest of the show. We're going to long on Twitter today, but we wanted to break down the whole schedule for you. So go to Giants.com. We'll continue the show there. And it's all presented by DraftKings. Don't forget, fans, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com. Enter promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. We'll take your calls. We'll do schedule. We can do draft, too, if you like. Again, John Ledyard from USA Today and DraftWire.com joined us at 12:30. It'll be the second time he's on with us during draft season this year. You ready for calls, Jeff?
Yeah. You know, one quick thing about the schedule.
Hey, go ahead.
Six of the eight games are at home, are at 1 o'clock.
Oh, Giant fans love that. Giant fans love 1 o'clock games.
I think that is that's nice to have, and I think that, you know, the players appreciate that too. They like those 1 o'clock games.
Five primetime games, so they'll have a chance to flex one more into primetime at the end of the year, if you like. I would keep an eye on those Eagles-Redskins games or that.
Well, one of them's already at 8:25.
That at Steeler game on the 4th, I think, is one that you look at that could turn into a night game. Unless Fox has that game protected, because they don't get the Steelers often. They might want to hold on to that game tight and not let NBC take it.
But to be honest with you, there will be no flexing at the home games because, look, the last two are at our way. So you got all six of the eight games at home are at 1 o'clock.
And the Cowboys' home game is already at 8:30 on December 11th. I guess the Lions could theoretically move if they're a very good team this year, but I think that's probably the least likely of those matchups towards the end of the year. Remember, though, flexing goes back all the way to week 5 now. So you can flex even the early games if you want. That Raven game, if it turns out to be a great game, could theoretically go to primetime. The Eagles game in the middle of the year could go to primetime. So those things can move earlier in the year if the NFL deems it necessary.
And we forgot to mention the Giants are now going back to London this year, which in 2007 we started that trend.
And how about the fact that the game's still at 9:30 in the morning? I didn't think they were going to play that game at 9:30 Eastern time because Rams fans in L.A. are going to have to wake up at 6 a.m. to watch the damn game.
I tell you what, I kind of liked it when they went to the 9:30. I mean,
I like it, too.
Because you get four games that day.
You get a quadruple header.
And
now, the only bad thing is that means we're going to probably
– you're going to leave after the game.
From a selfish perspective, that means we're now going to leave right after the game, and I'm not going to get an extra night in London. I want an extra night in London.
Why
Call
not?
Me selfish. I don't care. Yeah. I want an extra night in London.
Yeah, and then when you get back here, you're going to be tired as heck. But
And I should say this, by the way. NFL, from me and from all the other married folks out there, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts for giving us a game on December 22nd, the Thursday before Christmas. Rather than having us play on either Christmas Eve or on Christmas night
or
on Monday
Christmas
night
Day.
Football.
So or we will Christmas
not
Day.
So we will not have to travel at all during Christmas this year. I thank you. My wife thanks you. Let's get to the calls. 201.
Where is the Santa hat?
939. I should have the Santa hat on. Ho, ho, ho. Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Chris in Manchester. He's up first. He wants to talk about the schedule. Chris, what's going
Chris.
On?
Hey, guys. How are you? Nice to talk to you again.
Hey, thanks for calling in, Chris. What's up?
I got 2 points, one about the schedule and one about the 10th pick. First, the schedule.
Sure.
We play our division every single year. So in the schedule, easy, soft, hard, I go by the 10 teams, okay? And you know what? Injuries are injuries. We play who we play.
Yep.
And you got to take it 1 week at a time. That's really the bottom line here. But I am a little concerned when I first saw it. I saw Romo and I saw Breeze, and I said, I swallowed a little hard there, like Mr. Fiegels just said a little while ago. I felt the same way.
And then you have,
you want to start quick here, right?
Yeah,
John?
And then you have Rodgers and Flacco in weeks 5 and 6.
Yeah.
Don't forget about Teddy Bridgewater either.
Oh yeah, and then you got Bridgewater, and don't forget Kirk Cousins led the NFL in completion percentage at home last year. I know that game's at MetLife Stadium, so the advantage goes to the Giants. But Kirk Cousins is a young, improving quarterback. So to me, and I'm with you, Chris. I think it's, and we had a thing on Giants.com the other day, and one of the questions was after the schedule came out, me and Lance did a little video. What was the most game you're most looking forward to on the schedule. And Lance went with the Packer game. Aaron Rodgers, Sunday Night Football, I get that. My game?
Well, Ben McAdoo, et cetera.
Yeah, of course. My game was the first week of the season against the Cowboys. The Giants
have
had...
What is it with the Cowboys, John? What do we
I
play
don't
the
know.
Cowboys the first game 4 years out of five?
I don't know.
Opening...
I think they love the ratings.
Honestly, I think that's what it is. I think it's such a guaranteed ratings bonanza opening weekend. That's why they put it there. But I'm with you.
But isn't the Giants allowed to have a home game?
Well, and here's the thing.
You would think that even though the ratings were still there, they could give us a home game, right?
Well, has it been 4 out of 5 in Dallas opening night?
Yes, I think it has been.
I think you're right. And look, I agree with you. I don't like that matchup. So my choice for a game I was most looking forward to is Dallas, the first game of the year, because I think it's very important. The Cowboys have, when Romo's been healthy, they've pretty much had their way with the Giants now over the past few years. You need to break that streak, get out fast. I think playing a good game in Dallas that first week, and it's really tough, I get it, but if you can get a win that first week at Dallas, that sets the tone for the whole damn season. So I think that game to me is really, really important, and getting a win there would be huge.
And
the last 3 years were 6-10, 6-10, 6-10. You want to get off fast. It's a whole new regime. We're going to have somewhat of a defense this year. Hopefully we might be able to win at the end of the game and maybe hold somebody and maybe pick up on 9-10 wins this year.
Yeah, and Chris, you know what? Jeff, you made all these additions on defense.
Well, that's what I was going to get
at. You're getting tested early, eh, brother?
You're damn right you are. And what really gets me as we talk about those quarterbacks is I want to see this defense rise up to the occasion and actually go in and play well. So then that takes a little pressure off of you coming out of that Cowboys game. If you got a defense that comes in there now with these new guys and does well, that takes a lot of pressure off.
Yeah, and Chris, also with the pressure, too, think of it this way. You bring in all these defensive guys. You're coming off a bad defensive year. All these guys make all this money. And look, it happens. Romo and Breeze are great quarterbacks. What happens if you give up 30 points to the Cowboys? You give up 30 points to the Saints. Then all of a sudden the fans are yelling, oh, you wasted money on these guys. Maybe Tyron Smith, you know, locks down Olivier Vernon. Why'd you bring in Olivier Vernon? You gave him all this money. He's not doing anything. The fans start turning on you.
John,
so
I don't think you're going to see a 53-47 game this year by the Giants. I hope not.
You may
see an offense, but not defense.
I hope not.
All right, now let's get to the 10th pick, okay, real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
With this new first and second quarterback might be going with the Rams, okay, I thought maybe we could trade down with the Rams if they didn't make this move. I believe that we're in the same position we were 2 days ago as we were yesterday as far as the 4 or 5 guys that are going to be there.
I'm with you.
Here's my feelings, okay? I believe in moving down at this point. You said it yesterday, and I agree. There's only a tier of 5 guys, and we go to a second tier – then with about maybe 3 or 4 guys, then we go to a third tier, and I'm not including the quarterback.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Okay, so here's my deal. Okay, we need either we're going to go right tackle or we're going to go a pass edge rusher. That's my opinion, unless Hargraves is there. I like the cornerback. But here's the deal. We can get Conklin or Decker if we move down 2, 3, 4 spots, and we can get Shaq Lawson if we move down 3 or 4 spots to get another pick. Believe me.
I'm not positive.
Eric Flowers last year, John, one last point.
Yeah.
I didn't think Eric Flowers, and I know you know it was on the radio here with you, on the .com.
Right.
It wasn't a 10th pick, John, but we took him. We all believed it was a need. He worked out well. He has great feet. He has to get a little bit better with his hands. But he wasn't a 10th pick. He was a 14th, 15th pick last year, but we took him at 10. Why don't we use a little strategy this year, move down to 13, 14, and get Conklin or Decker, or we can get a defensive guy, or move it to the second round and get an offensive guy.
See, Chris.
You're still trying to say here, John.
No, I do. I know exactly what you're saying.
13 guys here, not top tier guys.
I'm not
blue chippers, John. Top 5 of blue chippers.
I hear you. Look, I'm not disagreeing with you. All I'll say is this. If you move down, let's say theoretically, you move down to 15, right? Because the Titans want a package maybe. They give the Giants one of their extra second-round picks to move
and
up. Just in theory.
Well,
that's fine. But I would worry, the only guy I'd worry about, if you really want Jack Conklin, I don't think there's a guarantee he's there at 15. Now, will Decker be there as a backup that could have at Ohio State? Sure. But I don't like Decker as much as I like Conklin. I think Conklin's better. So that is a risky run if you go down as far as 15. You might miss out on Conklin. Stanley and Conklin might both go off the board between 8 and 14. I think that's legitimately possible. So, Chris,
well,
that's the one
Stanley
risky
run. Well, is going to give you the move to move down from 10 because Tunsil was available. You might be able to make a deal with the Rams here.
You mean the Titans? All right, Chris. Thanks a lot for the call,
all
my
right.
friend. Appreciate it. And I just think you got to be careful. If you really want a guy like Conklin or Stanley, moving down too far could get you into some trouble. Same with Leonard Floyd. If you really want him at 10 as a pass rusher, a lot of people think the Bears are not a lock, but there's a good chance the Bears might go after him at 11.
And you know what? I'm trying to follow all this stuff. You do a great job at it, John. I'm not as versed in it as you are. But
well, I just got you that book, so you
yeah,
should be.
Yeah, but I'm telling you what. You can go online and you can look at all the stuff you want. Every single one of these stupid draft mock stuff is different.
Yeah, they are.
It's like I don't see any consistency in the fact. I don't even see the consistency with the Rams trading up to get the number one pick. And in my opinion, if you're going to go that high and you're going to give up all that stuff, wouldn't you? I mean, they probably know who they're going to take, but I mean, come on.
I'll tell you what.
This is a crapshoot here.
I listened. Adam Schefter was on with Pat Kerwin and Jim Miller on Sirius NFL
sure.
Radio yesterday at 5:15. I was working out. I had the interview on. And Schefter's literally reading tweets off of off of his phone from people in the league he trusts. And he's like, first text, Carson Wentz is their guy. Next text,
Goff.
Leading Jared Goff. Next test, it's Wentz. Next text, it's Goff. So they might know. They have done such a good job putting up a smoke screen as to which guy they're going to pick.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, the other thing Schefter said, he says he doesn't know this, but he thinks this. He does not think the Browns are going to pick a quarterback. He
well,
thinks
look
the
they
Browns.
Have here. Daniel Jeremiah has Miles
yeah.
Jack going to the Cleveland Browns.
He believes that D. Podesta is one of these guys that's going to want to trade back a lot and accumulate picks because their roster is so threadbare. And he thinks they're going to move out of two. You know, maybe the Niners or someone like that will move up. He doesn't actually think the Niners will move up because Trent Baalke likes his draft picks. He doesn't think he's going to give up a number of picks to move up. But he thinks the Browns will decide to move out of that two-hole and
pick
a little bit later.
Do you think this might happen?
He says he doesn't think the Niners will give up picks because they value him too much.
Yeah.
Maybe Philly? Apparently Philly was in the mix to trade up to one. If they were in the mix to trade up to one, wouldn't they be in the mix to trade up to two? Or the other team rumored to be in the mix to trade up to one were the Jets. If the price goes down, would they be willing to move up to two to pick a quarterback?
I mean, I just look at this.
All good questions.
And as we get closer and closer to the draft, just 2 weeks away from yesterday, mm-hmm. these boards continue to just move everywhere. Ezekiel Elliott, I mean, this guy, everybody had him going to the Giants. Now he's going to, you know, some mm-hmm. of these guys going. So it's very difficult. But, you know, I think, what would you say? What would you maybe the first 13 or the numbers like were the players? We can kind of figure out who the. I don't think anybody's going to come up from where we don't know about them and into the top 10.
I think we know who the
down.
Top 12 or so players.
That's what I'm
are.
Saying. I was trying to figure out what your number was.
12 I'd say
13.
Give or take. I think you go from throw the quarterbacks out. And you want to talk about position players. You got about 10 guys that are in the mix.
Right, and you can draw yeah. a circle around this. And I'm looking at NFL.com for
right.
those guys. But draw a circle around, and you can just start
right.
to point.
And
to
I think in any particular order, the first five non-quarterbacks that are going to get picked are going to be Jack, Ramsey, Bosa,
yeah.
Buckner. And then probably Ezekiel Elliott. I think those would be the first five non-quarterbacks taken. I'm going to squeeze in these two calls,
sure.
Dave, before we get to John Ledyard. So let's hold off a minute or two to call John. Let's go to Greg in Virginia. Greg, you got 2 minutes. Go ahead.
Okay, great. All right. So Charlie called the other day, and he said a really good point. We consider a draft a success if you get two actual contributors who are above average. That's what we – whenever we're trying to make the argument that we've been drafting better lately – it's because we had Richburg and Beckham, and we had Pugh and Hankins.
Sure. I'll buy that.
Okay. We agree with who's going 1-5. And there's reports that Baltimore would like to move back. What you do,
I'm not sure I buy that.
The scale is you trade your third and your fourth round, plus, and you swap ones. The points match up exactly. Even.
They're not doing that. They're not doing that. You realize with points that the Rams gave up twice as many points for that first pick in the draft
yeah, but,
than it was according
but
to the board.
But the Ravens have already put out there they want to move back.
Yeah, but they want to move back field. Because they want an extra second-round pick, not because they want an extra third
okay,
and fourth.
Then give up your second.
You want to give up your second-round pick to move up five
spots?
You come
away with the best defensive player in the draft and another player, say an offensive lineman who could be groomed, then that's a successful draft.
Well, how do you know that, though? How do you know?
Right away.
Well, I mean, who do you want at six, Greg?
I think the Jaguars are going to have a hell of a time picking between Bosa, Buckner, and Jack. And I think they're going to go one of the D linemen. That means Miles Jack had a really good shot of getting to six.
I don't see DeForest Buckner going to Jacksonville. He's a 3-4
okay,
player.
So
they run a
4-3.
Then you
have DeForest Buckner slipping.
That's fine.
Right?
But again, you don't have your second-round pick where you want your second starter coming from.
No, well, we have an early third.
That's a much more difficult pick to make. Then
how about we start hitting our third round?
No, that's fine. I'm just telling you, you're going to get a much better player with the 40th overall pick than you are with the 70th overall pick.
No, I totally agree. Yeah, we're on the same page. I'm talking fast because I have a limited amount of time.
I got you. It's cool. It's all right, Greg. It's all good. This is fun.
Yeah, I don't want you guys to think I'm getting angry.
No, this is fun, man. I like going back and forth. This is all good.
Okay, so here's my thing. All right, I think it's realistic to do that, and I would do that.
Yes.
If you don't, I think Ezekiel Elliott, the only way you stay at 10 is if Elliott flips, which I don't think will happen, but it's a possibility. I personally believe one way or another, three quarterbacks are going in the top 10. Mm. That's including the 10th pick.
I don't know.
If it doesn't shake out the way we want or the way I want, where we don't move up and then Elliott's taken, I move back. And someone's going to want Paxton Lynch because let's not kid ourselves. Quarterbacks are going 1 and 2 one way or another. Someone's going to trade with Cleveland or Cleveland's going to take a quarterback. You don't turn around your franchise by drafting a safety corner hybrid and – they already have a stud left.
You do if you don't believe that any of these quarterbacks are going to be franchise quarterbacks. Now, I don't know
what Ramsey's going to be. Charles Woodson?
I mean, he could be.
That's very, very bold.
Yeah, sure
and
it is.
Maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. But what I'm saying is someone's going to be stupid and see one of the quarterbacks sitting there.
You might
and
be right.
They're going to mess up. Either Niners are going to feel like, here's the thing. Mayock made a good point. He said he believes that it's Wentz going number one because he has the most potential to be the stud. He could turn out to be – he has the potential to develop into, like, an elite quarterback.
I agree.
Goff's more safe. So if Goff slips or if say Wentz goes one, Goff goes – you know, is still there, and he's the most pro-ready, and he's also – you know, his main thing is he needs to put on weight. Then I guarantee someone's going to nut their pants and move up and get him.
All right, Greg, we got to run, pal. Appreciate it, man.
Right.
Yeah, look, and I think Wentz has the higher ceiling. Goff is probably the safer guy, though people worry about his hand size and things like that. All right, let's get Marco from Connecticut on, Dave, and then you can call up John. We'll get John on right after Marco's done. Marco, what's up? You're up next.
Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Yeah, Marco. Sure.
So about the schedule first, and then I'll go into the draft.
Yeah.
Schedule, I don't know. I'm not crazy about the beginning part of the schedule. I think it could say a lot about what kind of team we are, how tough of a team we are. The Cowboys game, I mean, if I should have bet some money on that was going to be the first team to hear for. Here's what I think. I like McAdoo. I only read his quote yesterday, but I get the feeling from McAdoo that he likes the challenge of going to Dallas that first game of the year, and he's okay with it. And I think there's a little there's a feeling with this team that they want to get back to Dallas and correct the mistake that was made last year. So I like it. I think it's great for us, being in the division. Let's go there and get a win. I think Beckham is just saying it right now. The last time Beckham was on any type of national spotlight, the people really didn't get a good image of him. And I think he and McAdoo, I like the chip that's going to be on their shoulder going into that first team.
Just remember, Marco, real quick, Dallas is going to have a big chip on their shoulder too. Keep going.
No doubt about it. And that place, John, is going to be rocking.
Oh, yeah.
And the Giants will be the underdog going in there. So here's my draft thought. The trade yesterday, I agree with the first caller, Chris. I don't think that did anything to change where we are.
Agreed.
However, if you're a Cowboys fan, you absolutely love it. love it because
unless you're a Cowboy fan that wants a quarterback, then you don't like it.
I don't. But see, I think they do. I think they want to prepare and they want to be responsible franchise and do what they're supposed to get a quarterback while you're picking this high. But I think Goff is going to go one. And I, a California kid in L.A., I think that's what's going to happen. And I think Wentz, I don't know. I don't know what Cleveland's going to do now. You've made me think a little differently about that. But, see, if Tunsil went one like he was supposed to with the Titans now messing everything up for us, Tunsil would have gone one. And now Dallas picks, you know, whatever, a respectable pick. To think that Miles Jack or Ramsey could end up in Dallas, I don't think they'll pick another offensive lineman if Tunsil's there. But
I agree.
That's the part that I'm not crazy about. But here's my question, and I'll listen to the rest of the show. Better second-round value. We're picking in the second round. Three guys drop where we're picking. Treadwell, Noah Spence, and Ndiche. Who do you think would be the best second-round value where we're picking? Thanks, guys.
Treadwell.
I would go Treadwell too, Marco, and I would like to get the opinion of our next guest. Marco, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. And now we're joined by John Ledyard, from USA Today, DraftWire.com. John, let's start with this. You heard the caller's question. If those three guys, and I think it's unlikely, fall to the Giants with their first pick in the second round, what do you think the best value is?
Well, I think in that scenario, you almost have to go Treadwell. It's just
I agree.
Analyzing. I mean, he's such a talented player, and then you talk about a compliment to your receiving corps, and I think receiver needs to be a big priority for the Giants. They've got to get something around Odell Beckham, and you just can't count on Victor Cruz as much as you'd like to. So I just think that getting Laquon Treadwell there would be an incredible steal for the Giants.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. We had a guest on yesterday that he thought he was hearing Treadwell was maybe dropping on boards around the league based on his not just his 40 time, but also his lack of separation on game tape, which the 40 time seemed to confirm. John, thanks for joining us. First of all, I didn't mean to jump right in there. It's good to have you back. I guess let's start with the trade yesterday. How do you think this reshuffles the top 10? Anybody more or less likely to be available for the Giants at 10 based on what happened yesterday?
Yeah, I think that it definitely reshuffles things in a major way, obviously, because you go from having – and I don't see any quarterback in this draft as a top 10 player, so let's just – I'll throw that out there right away. So then you go from having, potentially one more top 10 player off the board when the Giants pick, and now you're going to have another one potentially available there for them. So you look at a quarterback number one, and the Giants are obviously, I'm sure, hoping a quarterback goes number two to Cleveland and continue to bump those better skilled player positions and defensive players down the board for them. So I think it's huge for every team in the top 10, I think, especially if Cleveland does decide to go quarterback, except for potentially San Francisco. But it definitely reshuffles things, I think, the most for a team like San Diego or even maybe a team like Dallas, because now San Diego is sitting there where they weren't sure whether they were going to get a shot at Jalen Ramsey or Laremy Tunsil. They probably weren't going to get a shot at Tunsil. Now Tunsil being there looks actually pretty favorable for them, and obviously a left tackle would be huge for them. Even though they've got a couple guys in place there, being able to protect Phillip Rivers is a priority. And then for Dallas, if that's the case and the top two teams go quarterback and San Diego loves Tunsil, they never thought they would have a chance at Jalen Ramsey there. So now Jalen Ramsey could be available for them. And I think that coupled with some, questions leaking out now about Miles Jack's medical recheck maybe not going well, I think that that could cause him to slip down the boards and potentially be there for the Giants at number 10, which if he checks out for them medically, I don't know how they can pass on him. Because he's easily a top three or four talent in this draft if he's healthy. So that's going to be the major question. But he would be the guy that I would think could maybe slide down that top 10 a little bit and potentially be there for the Giants' first-round pick.
Well, John, you said rumors about his medical recheck. What are you hearing?
Yeah, just hearing from a couple reports from guys like Dane Vergler from CBS and even Ian Rappaport saying out there on Twitter right now that there's a couple teams that have their doubts still about Miles Jack's knee and a couple teams that think maybe about the long-term progress of his knee, that it may be weaker long-term. Now, I don't know. So much of this stuff is smokescreens, and that's the hardest part about it, is that you don't know, are these teams outside the top 10 that hope Malchak falls to them.
That would have been my
question.
To leak
stuff. And Malchak has said teams don't have concerns. Of course, he's going to say that. So it's so hard to read between the lines and see what's there or not. But I think that there may be enough doubt there that he could slide a little bit, but I don't expect anything like what will probably happen with James Smith.
A sliver of hope, Thieges, a sliver of hope.
there is a lot of fans around the Giants area here that would not be upset if that actually Malchak fell to that order. John, typically the Giants, they kind of do their things their own way. They draft on the highest available. This year, with them going out of free agency and doing what they did, which was pretty amazing from what a lot of people seem to think, I seem to think that the Giants this year are going to go a little bit different and possibly go on. They were going to go for that need player, more importantly. But I don't know. I think that maybe they go back and say, you know what, for what happened yesterday with all these guys dropping, and then you said it earlier in the conversation, maybe they do get a guy that they weren't expecting. Do you think who do you think that this guy is going to be? Who do you think the Giants are taking at 10? I was trying to look you up before we came out to get your mock draft, but I couldn't find it. So,
yeah, I just put one out last night, actually.
Okay.
I think that there's going to be some tough decisions. I don't think they're an easy team to predict who they're going to take. Right now I
have
Darren Lee, the linebacker from Ohio State. That's higher than I would take him, but I do think he projects better to the NFL game with his coverage ability and ability to play at a high level in space. I think he projects really well to this level of football with the pass-heavy offenses, and he'd obviously fill a huge need for the Giants. He's a little bit like a poor man's Malchak, and you hate to say that about a guy who's still projected in the low first round or early second round range, but I think that's what Darren Lee offers. So I think that, but they've got a number of possibilities, like you said. I mean, they could be looking at an offensive tackle. I've seen a ton of people mock them Shaq Lawson, even with the edge rushers they currently have. So I'm not sure if there's anything behind that or not. I don't know why after getting Olivier Vernon and re-signing Jason Pierre-Paul, and I'm sure they still want to see what Adigazua offers. So they would be a pretty crowded group, but the Giants do love
they love their
linemen. Pass rushers.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think the Giants could ever have enough people that can rush the passer, especially after what happened last year. But, it's very difficult. I mean, the way that we've been looking at these drafts, and John and I have been doing the show the last month and a half and talking about it, every week it changes, then things go down like what happened yesterday. My guess is that I feel that the Giants are going to go offense. And so whether that's a wide receiver, a cornerback, or an offensive lineman, I don't know. But I have a feeling that it's going to be an offensive player. But that's just who cares about what I think.
Yeah,
I'm not making my mock draft here.
It's funny you mention that because I did two mock drafts, actually. I did one what I think will happen, which was Darren Lee, the linebacker from Iowa State, and one was what I think should happen. And I actually mocked him my top receiver in this year's draft, Michael Thomas from Ohio State, because I think he separates really well but can also stretch the field and is pretty dangerous after the catch as well. So I think that he offers a lot of things that Eli Manning is going to be able to step in and help right away because his game is so NFL ready. So matching him with Beckham, I think, is a great pairing. But really, I mean, Josh Dotson, Laquon Treadwell, all those guys could be options for the Giants, and they're all talented, and I think they can all help compliment Odell Beckham really well. I think the main thing is you've got to find somebody who can be dangerous in that offense other than Odell, and right now I'm just not sure they have anyone.
Well, John, let me follow up then. Why do you like Michael Thomas more than some of the other top wide receivers in the class? You mentioned Doxon, you mentioned Treadwell specifically.
Yeah, it is a good question. I wrote a piece just recently about finding your flavor in this class, especially amongst the top five or six receivers, and potentially it could just be the flavor of Michael Thomas's game that I'm attracted to, because I love Laquon Treadwell. I love Josh Dotson. He's great in the air. Laquon Treadwell is as physical a receiver in the draft as there is. I think Michael Thomas just kind of has the best of all of those worlds in a way. He can play above the rim and go high point the football. He can separate incredibly well for a big receiver because he's so good in his footwork and the nuances of his routes. He's very well established in that way. In fact, he and Odell as route runners together is a terrifying combination, I think, for NFL corner staff to face. So I think he's very detailed in his approach to the game, and I like that. But he's also a very good athlete, and he was showed the ability to stretch the field in college, and the ability is really underrated aspect of him being successful after the catch. He's got really big hands. He adjusts well to the football. There's not a whole lot that Michael Thomas does at a on a poor level. There really isn't a ton of weaknesses to his game. Some will say there isn't any overwhelming strengths, but I think he's very balanced and very strong in every area and can step into an NFL offense and contribute right away. So I think he's a great fit in New York. I think he's going to go. He should go somewhere in that 10 to 20 range because that should be his value in this draft class.
I don't think it'll be the Giants. But that's my opinion. I mean, if they draft another wide receiver where a lot of guys – I mean, we obviously know who he is, but I think that that's a – I think that would be, in my opinion, a reach for these guys. I really – in fact, you know, you talk about the offense. You talk about the receivers. I still think that you need to protect Eli Manning. And in my opinion, it's that offensive lineman. And whether it's going to be the guy from Notre Dame or the Michigan State guy, either one of them I would be happy with. But like, once again – they don't listen to me. I don't. It's okay. We just like to talk about it.
Well, John, I want to follow up on Fiegels then. Differentiate for me Stanley and Conklin. Who do you like better? I think the theme out there seems to be that Stanley, more of a prototypical finesse left tackle, while Conklin's a power guy that you think could develop into a left tackle over time, but you can plug him in at the right side and he'll succeed there right away. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I do. I do to a degree. I think there's concerns with Stanley about his work ethic and things of that nature. But I can't really speak to that. I think on the field that he does a great job. He's a good pass protector. There's some inconsistencies. I think he has to get stronger. But I think that overall he's a solid pass protector, and he projects well to the NFL in that role. As a run blocker, he can get really overextended and kind of fall off blocks. But I think he moves decently. He's not as great in space as a guy like Laremy Tunsil is, but I think at the same time, there's enough there to work with, and he can operate in a number of different schemes up front if you want him to. I think Conklin is probably going to be a peak NFL player to me inside a guard. That's where he'll best reach his ceiling. I think he could play right tackle, too. I'm not sure that I see him as a left tackle unless he gets substantial footwork because he's got so many flaws in terms of his footwork and his pass sets and gives up the edge too easily to survive. So I worry about him at tackle a little bit. Taylor Decker from Ohio State is actually my number two offensive tackle.
Interesting.
And Stanley is my third. So that's kind of how I see the class. But I like Conklin a lot as a player because he's so nasty and physical, and he's very good in the run game.
What are you hearing about the medical rechecks on Lawson's shoulder? I know some teams are worried about him potentially dropping down based on the injury. He's kind of been all over the draft boards. I've seen him in as high as 8, as low as in its 20. What's your take on Lawson in terms of where he is medically, and then where do you see him talent-wise in terms of his ceiling in this draft?
Medically today, I'm hearing that he did really well on his medical recheck, and there's no doubt for his availability on that shoulder for 2016. So he should be around, and there shouldn't be any hit to his draft stock because of that. I think the Jaguars were the one team that had red flagged him a little bit for a recheck, so that's why he went back, and they were apparently really satisfied with today's results. So good news for him on that front that won't be a concern. We do hear a lot that NFL teams aren't as high on him as analysts. I don't know why. The production is there from a run defense perspective, from a pass rushing perspective. He can do a lot of things and win in a lot of ways. He proved himself with a great combine. So it's unusual for a college player to come from a big program, have great production, have great tape, play really well injured in the college football playoffs, and have a great combine and still have his stock be in doubt. That's really strange to me. There's no size concerns. There shouldn't be athleticism concerns. There's no character concerns. Now there's no health concerns. So I don't know if this is smoke that we're hearing about Lawson falling down the board or not, but a lot of people are saying that Kevin Dodd, his Clemson teammate, will go over him. I think Dodd's a very good player, but to me, Lawson's a top 10, probably top 8 prospect in this class, and I think he's got a very high floor at the next level, just a very well-rounded player who can win in a number of ways as a pass rusher, and he fits really well in a 4-3 front or a 3-4 front. I think he proved that at the combine. So to me, he's a really safe pick, and you've got to take him in the top 10.
I think a lot of people coming in had Kevin Dodd above him anyways. You know, for our listeners and the people watching, in medical recheck, we've been hearing that term a little bit. What is a – I mean, it is – you kind of get an idea what it is, but how is it done? What's a medical recheck? Are these guys going somewhere to get checked out? Are the doctors coming to them? Is it in their pro day? What's the deal with that medical recheck?
So what happens is when they go to Indianapolis for the combine in the first place back in February, they get every player is subject to an examination by NFL doctors. So the doctors examine them, and then certain teams will examine their doctors will examine the results of those checks, and they will red flag a player or express concerns enough so that they want that player to come back and get rechecked a couple weeks before the draft. It usually happens right around this time, so it's this weekend. So that happened for, I think, 35 players in this year's class.
Gotcha.
And so you'll see just a lot of it's precautionary. Some are obvious, like Jalen Smith was obviously going to go back and get his knee looked at again because of that. So teams kind of have a say in that, and they get to say, hey, I'll red flag this player. I want to see him come back. And obviously players are more than willing to oblige in that capacity. So they head back to Indianapolis and get checked again by NFL doctors, and then those results are – Sometimes yeah, are blurry for us. We think, oh, teams are saying they hate, you know, the results, and other teams are saying they're fine with the results. And you don't really know until the draft, and we've seen smoke get blown in the past. So it's hard to read between the lines in terms of figuring out that aspect of it, but that's kind of what the process looks like for those guys with health concerns.
John, what's your take on Leonard Floyd? I've talked to a bunch of other guys about him. I think he's a real fascinating prospect. One day I'm sold on him. One day I have questions. He's played 3-4 at Georgia. He rushed the passer. He played inside too. How do you see him fitting in a system like the Giants in a 4-3? Where does he fit? What's his value? What does he do well? And where? How do you would you project him for the Giants if they went there with the 10th pick?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm totally with you. I think I was actually just thinking about this the other day for a piece I'm going to do before the draft, and thinking about which prospect is the toughest for me to evaluate, and it honestly might be Leonard Floyd because he did move around at Georgia a lot. He played on the edge. He played some at middle linebacker. He played some at Sam linebacker. So he was all over their front, and so that makes it a little bit tougher to analyze who he is as a prospect. And I don't think he's a great edge setter. I don't think he's going to be a great run defender on the edge, but I think that he has the potential to move back off the ball and be a pretty good run defender. He needs more experience at linebacker. There's some plays where you see it. He sees it right away, and he attacks and gets downhill. I think he's plenty physical. He's just not that strong or that heavy right now because he's so light for his height. So I think that there's upside with him, but you're going to have to use him in a very effective role for his skills. So similar to maybe the way that Seattle used Bruce Irvin, they played him off the ball on early downs, but then on all these pass rush situations, they would line him up and let him go. I don't think Floyd's as twitchy as Bruce Irvin is, and so there's not quite the same upside there as a sack artist. He does bend the edge pretty well, and he's got really good length, but his functional strength can have to improve. He doesn't offer much as a bull rusher, or when he tries to one-arm rush guys, it isn't nearly as effective. So I don't know if I see him fitting the typical Giants mold for their edge rushers a lot of the time. But I do think he can play for a 4-3 team and kick off the ball and then to an edge role and be used creatively. But I do think he probably needs to get stronger before he's ready to play a major role in the NFL.
Interesting. I think I've heard so many different opinions on him going left and right.
No, he's athletic.
Yeah.
He's very athletic. I think that's what everybody's high on him about.
Yeah, but absolutely. You got to play in space. You third down, you rush him. You know, he can be on the field then for three downs, which obviously a linebacker you don't get very often in the NFL these days. John, I want to kind of drop down here a little bit. Who do you think you believe might slip in this draft to around 40, let's say, with the Giants pick in the second round, that you really like, that you have a great grade on, but you think other teams might let fall a little bit to either the Giants at 40, or you can even dip into the Giants at 70 in round 3 if you like?
At any position?
Any position.
Positions that they would need?
I mean, if you want to throw in need, I guess we're talking O-line, safety,
sure.
Wide receiver.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
if you want to specify, that's great. If you want to throw in some guys at random spots, do that too.
Right. I think that Darian Thompson, the safety from Boise State, is a guy that they could look at. You kind of need a piece to play next to Landon Collins on the back end, and Thompson is probably going to be there after he didn't have a great combine, but he was sick at the combine, as a number of players were, and then he improved on his numbers a lot at his pro day, but it didn't get much publicity. So if he's still there around that range for the Giants, I think he's a guy they look at maybe to play on the back end with Landon Collins, and I think he can – like I said, I think he can play single high if you want him to. I think he can play in the box if you want him to.
Okay.
He showed the ability to match up in man coverage. So he's a guy that I think will be pretty attractive to them in that range if he's still on the board.
Interesting. All right, Johnny, we already asked you your prediction here for the Giants pick, so I'm not going to ask you again. Give me how about this? Do you think there's going to be another trade in the top 10, either before draft night or on draft night?
Yeah, absolutely I do. I think Philly and Dallas are both going to try and potentially move up. Cleveland could potentially try and move back. I think Dallas knows that Philly's interested in Ezekiel Elliott, and I think there's a lot of people in that building that are big Elliott fans. I don't know if everyone is. I don't know if he's the overall consensus, but I think that there's enough concern that the Eagles may try and move up and nab him before the fourth pick. So I think Cleveland could potentially trade back as long as they would probably like to try and stay in front of San Francisco. But I think that something with those three teams and potentially the Jets as well is still bound to happen, I think.
So you are not you are not on board then. I know a lot of – it's kind of split 50-50 for what I can tell. About 50-50 the guys that do it, you do, John, think Dallas is going to go quarterback and they need to back up Tony Romo. You think either Elliott or the best defensive player on the board is where they'll probably go at four?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Jerry Jones is trying to – generate some interest in teams trying to get a quarterback with that smoke. So I think Dallas will probably wait until the later rounds to address quarterback, I think. And, yeah, there's some people that do disagree, but I do think that they're smoking that a little bit, and I think that they're going to probably choose between, if they have the option, choosing between Miles Jack and Joey Bosa, Jalen Ramsey, and Ezekiel Elliott. That those will be the top four guys on their board.
I mean, when you look at the Cowboys and what happened last year in their running game, it makes sense to me with that offensive line that might be that Ezekiel Elliott might be that guy.
Running back at four is awfully high these days.
Yeah,
you know,
but I mean, I know, but it wouldn't surprise me in this year's draft. All this stuff already is surprising me. I mean, all I know is that with all these trades and guys moving up and moving back to get quarterbacks and this and that, the Giants fans have got to hope that some of these guys that we weren't even looking at that may still be on the board at number 10, and it might be an early Christmas for the Giants. You never know. You never know what's going to happen. Crazy.
I think it's a possibility. I mean, even if let's say the Browns do take a quarterback, the Rams are obviously taking one, and then what if San Francisco takes one? What if they reach for a quarterback? I mean, you're talking about three top 10 players potentially sliding out to that 10 spot, so that's huge for the Giants, I think. And, you know, I think that there's a number of players that they could need there. So I think the Giants and the Bucs are actually both sitting pretty at that 9 and 10 spot, and I think that they can potentially get really good players without having to move up.
Now, John, I want to ask you this because fans have called in and asked us this question. I'll get your opinion because I always say it's a 2, and I want to see if you agree. If the Giants want to move up to 5 or 6 in this draft, that will cost them a second-round pick, right? Teams aren't going to take a 3 and a 4 for that, right?
I would cost them at least a second, I would think. Yeah, I would be surprised if it was less than that. I haven't looked at the actual trade value chart that's out there, but I'd be pretty surprised if they were able to move up to 5 or 6 without giving up at least a second.
I agree with you. John, great stuff. We appreciate it as always.
Thank you, John.
We will catch up with you again. Thanks for the time. And, of course, you can enjoy John's work on USA Today and DraftWire.com. John, great stuff. We'll talk to you again real soon, all right?
Hey, thanks, guys. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
John Ledyard, awesome job. Again, USA Today, DraftWire.com. Fantastic job.
Man, there are a lot of people that understand this draft and do this stuff. It's crazy.
A lot of great information.
It's unbelievable, you know. But I like I was saying, John, I really believe that if this trade stuff goes down, the Giants could just get sitting there going, "Wow, how did this fall to us?" And maybe it's Miles Jack.
Your gut feeling to me seems to be that the Giants are going to fall into something here.
My gut feeling is that the Giants at number 10 know who they want.
Right.
But I feel like if something goes down, as it's starting to, and as John alluded to, that he thinks something else is going to happen, that the Giants are going to sit there on draft day and say, okay, I cannot believe that we're one pick away maybe from getting this guy, whoever it is. That's my opinion. And it might be Miles Jack. It might be, you know, I don't know.
DeForest Buckner, maybe.
Listen, and they're taking him. They'll take him.
Oh, yeah.
They will take him.
I would think.
But, you know, it's just a matter of philosophy, and it's a matter of opportunity. And that's what you're going to have when it comes to the draft 2 weeks from yesterday. Should be exciting.
Fans, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy sports. Pick your contest, pick your players. If you win, pick up your cash. Simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT to claim your free entry today. Excuse me, DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. We'll try to squeeze in one call, but before we say goodbye, He's being screened as we speak, so as soon as we get him on there, we will get to him right here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Let's go to Adam. Adam, you wrap us up. You got 2 minutes. You squeeze yourself in there, man. Congratulations. What's
thanks,
up?
Thanks, John. Actually, it's been fun watching you guys. I actually interned with you guys back in the day.
Oh, what's going on, man? How are you?
Good. I just wanted to talk about Leonard Floyd.
Yeah.
My thing about Leonard Floyd, and this is the reason why I think he's going to be drastic, is because of Steve Spagnuolo. If you look at the history of Steve Spagnuolo, when he came into the Giants in 2007, he loved a guy by the name of Matthias Kiwanuka to be his joker. And to me, when he came in again back in 2015, this year, he had a guy by the name of Demetri Moore that he liked to be his joker. So to me, if we're going to draft defense, I feel Leonard Floyd is going to be the guy because he's the jack of all trades. He can cover the slot receiver. He can rush the linebacker. He can do a lot of things, and he can also probably, he's big enough to play maybe on the outside and put his hand in the dirt and just be one of those NASCAR guys if he wants. And to me, that's what I think, if I were the Giants and if Leonard Floyd is the pick, that's why I think he's going to be the guy, because he can do so many things in that defense that already has so many pieces. And to add one more guy that can play either linebacker position and even stand up defensive end and get that pass rush on, I think that's where
good point.
They will go.
Good stuff, Adam. Appreciate it. And look, I think thanks for the call, man. And I do agree that I think he does fit the prototype on the type of player that the Giants like to draft. Here's the thing, though, and I think this is interesting. Yeah, he can do all these different things, he's a jack all trades. I don't think as a rookie you can throw all that at him and ask him to do that in his first year. I think you got to pick out one thing that you think he's going to be really good at and have him focus on that and say, rookie year, you'll do this. And then as you're in the league longer, we'll add this, we'll add this, we'll add this. And then maybe in a year or two, he is that guy that can do everything. But I don't think as a rookie you can throw the whole book at him and say, learn how to be an under linebacker, a coverage linebacker, a joker, a hand in the dirt guy. You can't do all that in year one. That's going to take some time.
No question. Here, instead of it being this thick of a book, it's going to be this thick. But next year, it's going to be this and this. But you are our first-round draft pick. You are playing, my friend.
Right.
So you better get your butt out there, and you better get your butt in the
book,
and you need to learn.
And I think if you tell the kid, look, on third down, we're going to have you walk around. You might be on the edge. You might be in the middle. You might be standing up. You might be a hand in the dirt. But your job is to get after the quarterback on third down. He can handle that.
You know, you look at Michael Boley. He was kind of, you know, I know, and Matthias, the caller was made a great point. Those two guys, I can see kind of in that little hybrid of who this kid is. So, he would definitely fit into this system. I know that when we talked about, actually, when we were on air, I can't remember the gentleman's name, but we were talking about him. And a lot of people can't get a good grade on him because he played out of position. He played middle linebacker. He played defense. So nobody can really – he didn't play one position in college that they can get a good grade on him. So like you said, John, it's a matter of which team will fit for him, and the Giants could be a good fit.
All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us.
Yep,
Jeff,
happy
good
Friday.
Time.
Yep, absolutely, guys. We'll see you all next week.
Next week, it will be less than a week away from the draft when Fiegels and I are with you on Friday. We'll have another draft expert on. Rob Rang from CBS Sports will join us. For Jeff Fiegels, I'm John Schmelk. Have a fantastic weekend. It's going to be 70 degrees, Fiegs. You hit the golf course?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes, I am.
So it's going to be 70 on Sunday, 60 tonight. I'm going to my first Yankee game of the year tonight. Looking forward to that.
Very
that
nice.
Be fun.
Very nice. They're playing Cleveland?
Seattle.
Seattle.
The Mets have Cleveland this weekend.
Oh, that's,
and I believe it's Severino on the mound tonight, which is exciting.
Nice. That'll be good.
Good times, everyone. Thanks for joining us.
Enjoy.
We'll see you on Monday on Giants.com. Have a fantastic weekend, everyone.
All right, here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
Got through the field. He's got through. 35-30.
Intercepted!
Touchdown!